in Him. Absolutely true and absolutely amazing. Nothing compares.
Perfect. Ooh, now I can hear myself. Nothing compares to the promise we have in Christ. Well, it's great to be together again this morning. Great to sing these wonderful pieces of praise and adoration to our wonderful Lord. You know, I was wondering, you know that French fries did not originate in France? Did you know that French fries did not originate in France? They were found in Greece. Oh, well. I have a friend who, and here's this one too. I have a friend who asks, particularly women in the kitchen and cooks and so on, how long can you keep a turkey in the freezer? You don't need to answer, but think about it. How long can you keep a turkey in the freezer? And then he says, well, my wife put a turkey in the freezer last night, and it was dead this morning. Okay, oh well. Enough of that. We're here to bring praise and glory, as we've just been doing, singing to the majesty of our Lord. We're here to bring praise and glory to Him. Let's take a moment and continue to pray. Father, we lift our hearts to You this morning. Thank You that we have nothing like the promises that we have in You. Thank You for these pieces that we've been singing. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. And Father, I just pray this morning that You'll take our hearts, You'll take our minds, and You'll minister to us through Your Word by Your Spirit. And Father, I pray that ministry will be life transforming, that You'll teach us Your Word, that Your Word will come alive for us. And Father, that we will be transformed by the wonder of who You are. Father, take us this morning and move us by Your Word, I pray. And Father, I pray for those that have been mentioned that aren't well this morning. Father, touch them and bless them and minister Your healing to them as it is Your will. And Father, just come close to them, draw them to Yourself in a special way, I pray, during this time of illness. So Father, this morning we're here, and we're taking a few moments to look into Your wonderful Word. Make it come alive and real to us, I pray this morning, in our Savior's wonderful name. Amen. Do you listen to UCB? You listen to UCB? Hey, we got one back there that listens to it, and we even get it in Bancroft. And we certainly listen to it when we're traveling and lots of times. And I heard something on it not long ago. If you listen to it regularly, I'm sure you will, because I heard it again yesterday. I heard it a few weeks ago. It's a phrase. And to me, it's pretty dynamic. And the phrase is this: we live in Canada, but heaven is our home. We live in Canada, but heaven is our home. I think that's pretty special. I like that. And this morning we're going to talk about Abraham. And I can just see Abraham saying that. Well, not exactly that, but pretty close to that. I can just see Abraham saying, I live in Canaan, but heaven is my home. I live in Canaan, but heaven is my home, and I can't wait to get there. Well, we're in a little mini-series here, last Sunday and this Sunday, and the mini-series has a title. And if you were here last Sunday, you'll remember the title, I'm sure. Yeah, I see everybody's memory lighting up. Yes, absolutely. The title of our little mini-series is Fix Your Thoughts on Jesus. Fix Your Thoughts on Jesus. Oh, there we go, down there. Can I put this a little higher so I can see it? Yeah. F- Fix your thoughts on Jesus. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Very significant. We got lots going on in our lives. We got activities here and activities there and thinking processes here. But in the midst of it all, our real focus, our primary focus, our thoughts should be fixed on Jesus. And that comes from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. And our little series is really on faith, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11. And last week we talked about faith itself, what faith really is. And if you were here, you will probably remember what we said faith was. It came straight from that chapter. And it's this. Faith believes that God is real and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith believes that God is real. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. And another aspect of that comes from a scholar of the past. And it's this, saying this. Taking God at his word and obeying him. Taking God at his word and obeying him. And we have his word right here. So taking God at his word and obeying him. Then we looked at, beyond that, we look at Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel? And what do we learn from Cain and Abel? We learn that faith in God requires obedience to God. Faith in God, that's just sort of following through from the definition. Faith in God requires obedience to God. And then we looked at Noah. And you remember Noah and what we learned from Noah. And basically, we learned from Noah that faith steps out from the thinking of this world and follows Jesus. Faith steps out from the thinking of this earth, this world, and follows Jesus. It's not conformed to the thinking of this world. It doesn't allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. It steps out and it follows Jesus. And it follows Jesus no matter what the world tries to squeeze us into. It follows Jesus. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the next character of faith following down in Hebrews chapter 11, and it is Abraham. So let's turn in our Bibles. If you've got your Bible, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start reading at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. And we don't just have Abraham in this passage, but we have his dear wife in this passage, Sarah. Earlier in his life, she was Sarai. But we have her in this passage as the first woman of faith listed here in this faith chapter, listing many people of faith. So I'll begin at verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Abraham was called by God. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, and God spoke to him. Why God spoke to Abraham and singled him out, we don't know. But God spoke to him and called Abraham to follow. Now, Abraham was in Ur, and Ur at that time worshipped a whole bunch of different gods. Probably Abraham worshipped them as well. But he recognized the true and the living God, and he said, okay, I'll surrender to you, God. And God called him and said, you need to leave where you are in Ur, pack up your stuff, pack up certain numbers of your family, and leave. And let's look at a little more detail of that. If we're going to look at a little more detail, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to find a real foundation passage in Genesis chapter 12 here in these early verses here. But Genesis chapter 12, we'll find out what happened in more detail when it comes to Abram here. And as we read it in chapter 12, we'll notice it's Abram because it's early in his life before his name was changed to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Now, I want us to think for a moment about verses 2 and 3, because verses 2 and 3 are called the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant underlies, is a foundation for all the Old Testament and even New Testament. It's a foundational covenant. It's God's promise, Abrahamic promise of what will take place in the future from Abraham. And even in these verses, there is a glimpse in the distance of the Lord Jesus. Let me read them. Look at them as I read. Verse 2. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Did you notice the glimpse of Jesus and what he did there? It's tucked away. It's pretty remote in a way. But it's tucked away in that last verse where it says, "And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." How were all the peoples of the earth blessed through Abram? They were blessed because a son of Abraham, many, 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 many generations later, would be the Son of God and go to the cross and provide salvation for the whole world. Okay, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he was sent out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Little glimpse of what Abram was doing there. And notice that twice as he was traveling in the land of Canaan, what did he do? He stopped and he built an altar. That was the way he worshiped. Or at least that was one way he worshiped. He took time to build an altar to sacrifice to his God and to learn about God and to worship God. And I was thinking about that. I thought, there's some equivalents today to that, really. And I think church would be a kind of an equivalent to that. We stop in our busy schedules. We do things through the week or the activities of the week. But on Sundays, we can come together and collectively we can worship the Lord. And I trust that we're worshiping the Lord through the week, individually, reading his word individually. But on Sundays, we come together collectively to worship him. So, very important example, and perhaps slightly relates to what Abraham was doing there. But back to our verse in Hebrews 11, verse 8. And there's one point made in that verse particularly. Notice verse 8 again, and the one point he's making. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. The big point that's made here is God called Abram, and Abram said, "Yes, I'll believe in you, and I'll go. If you want me to go, I'll go." And he didn't say, "Okay, where are you going to go? Where are you going to take me? And I better assess and see if the land of Canaan is the land I'd like to go or I'd like to be." Not at all. He didn't even know where he was going. But God called him to go, and Abraham said, yes, if you're leading, I'm going. And that brings me to say this. Faith in God obeys God without having all the answers. Faith in God obeys God without having all the answers. There we go. Faith obeys God without having all the answers. You know, we have a lot of answers. We looked at that last week. We have lots of evidence that God is real. We looked at the universe. You know, it's incredible. It shows God. We talked a little bit about the inner workings of our body and how finely we're made and how complicated we are. It shows the power of God. There's lots of evidence about God, and we step and with that evidence, and we have faith that God is real, that God exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. But we don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. How could God send his son into this earth to be a human being? God is infinite. We're finite. How could that be? We don't understand. God did it. We don't understand all the ways that works out. Isaiah 55 says, the Lord's thoughts are infinitely greater than ours. So we can't understand everything about God. People can ask us questions. Well, how is this? How does that work? We don't always have the answer. We don't have to have all the answers. Faith obeys God without having all the answers. Sometimes somebody will say, well, if I was sure they found the remains of Noah's Ark, I would believe God. Guess what? They wouldn't, because there would be too many questions that other people would raise. Oh, it's not really real. It's not really real, and so on. We don't have all the answers. But faith in God, like Abram says, I believe in God. He's calling me, and that's all I need. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll be there. Following him, all before him. Faith in God follows, no matter if they know all the answers or not. So, next verse. He says, he went, and by faith he made his home in the promised land. This is verse 9. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. Now, Abram ended up in Canaan, where God had led him, and he had a lot of flocks and herds. He had abundant number of servants in his entourage, if you will. So many servants that in chapter 14 of Genesis, he could put together an army, a small army, and defeat some of the northern kings that had gone down and had captured Lot from Sodom. Remember that chapter. That was Abram and how big he was and how amazingly plentiful he was in what he had. But he still lived in tents. Still lived in tents. In those days, living in a tent meant that you were traveling or you were a nomad. He didn't stop and he didn't build a house or he didn't build a city. He lived in tents. Why did he do that? If someone had asked Abram, okay, now you've got lots of flocks and you've got lots of herds. You know, you've got servants galore. You cover a large section of land. Why don't you just buy some land and settle down and build a house or even build a city? In those days, cities weren't enormously big. Why did you do that? What would Abraham say? Abraham would say undoubtedly something like this. No, I'm not going to settle down here. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Abraham made it clear always by what he did that he was living in a foreign land. He never wanted to settle down. He always looked at it as I'm in a foreign country. And he made it look like that because he always lived in tents. He didn't move on beyond tents. How does that translate to believers today? Well, it might be quite a challenge. But you know, we can't live in tents because we live in Canada. But it's important for us to live like we're traveling through. We're passing on. We're not settling down as though, well, we're putting my roots down here because this is what I'm interested in. This is where my value system lies, and I'm going to accept it the same as everybody else's value system, and I'm going to go for the things that this world offers. No, we have to go for some of them because we live here. But we should be reflecting the fact that we are just traveling through. You know, years ago when I came down here to Sterling, there was a house, just south of Madoc. It's not a very big house. And they had sort of, I don't know what you call them, but sort of like on the sides of their driveway, a little nice little framework on both sides. I know what they had written on it. They had, "It'll do." And I thought that was kind of cute. It'll do. And in my mind, I added a little bit more. I added, "It'll do until I get home." And I think we should all look at our places along that line. It'll do until I get home. Because like Abraham, as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't really belong here. We are foreigners in a foreign country. We've got another citizenship. Our citizenship is in another country. Heaven is our home. So let's say that. Faith considers this world a foreign place. Faith considers this world a foreign place. How do we reflect that? We have to decide. We have to decide. How I can reflect that? How do I make that clear by the way I live? You know, and that one of the big ways would be not to be overly interested in what this world offers, but continually through all that takes place and what we have to do and where we have to live and so on, we have our thoughts fixed on Jesus. Always remembering, I'm living in Canada, but heaven is my home. I'm living in Canada, but heaven is my home. A few verses on in our chapter, there is a summary of a number of these ancients who lived by faith. Starting at verse 13. Starting at verse 13 in chapter 11, there's a summary. And notice what it says. All these people that are listed, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Wonderful. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Isn't that pretty neat? They admitted, they made it real, they sought to live like the fact that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. This is all of them, not just Abram, but all the rest of them too. They were strangers and foreigners on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country not their own. They are looking for another country. And notice, I think verse 15 says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. I mean, if Abraham was saying, okay, I got to go back to Ur of the Chaldees. I was so comfortable there, I'm going to go back to Ur of the Chaldees. They would have had an opportunity to go back. He was, you know, he was big enough and wealthy enough, he could go back. But no way. Instead, verse 16, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? If we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are living like we don't really belong here, If we are showing that some ways by what we're doing, how we're living, God is happy with us. God is not ashamed to be called our God. Not ashamed to be called and put your own name in there, anybody. If we're making it clear that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world, that we're looking for another country, a heavenly country, and that with our eyes fixed on Jesus, that heavenly country is part of our thoughts in the sense of looking forward to it. We have things to do here, we've got activities that go on, and we've got lives to live, but deep down in and throughout the activities of our lives, in our own mind and in our actions, we're making it clear that we don't belong here. We're not settling down like everybody else. We have to do a certain amount of things. We have to work and we have to live and we have to have houses and so on. But we live as though we are just passing through. It'll do until I get home. And when we live that way, God is not ashamed to be called our God. And that's something. If we settle down and say, oh, you know, I'm going to get all the gusto I can out of this life, and I'm going to have everything I can, and I'm going to go for this next, and go for that next, and go for this next. And yet we're naming the name of Christ as our Savior. The Lord is kind of ashamed of us. Because we're not following him the way he has called us to follow. We're not following him as people of faith like Abraham was. We're not following him the way he desires us to follow. We've just touched down here. We've got a mission here. We've got a mission to serve him. We've got a mission to use the gifts he has given to us. We've got a mission to take the gospel out to a perishing world. We've got a mission to live for him here. But we're a stranger. We're a pilgrim in this land. Faith considers this world a foreign place. If Abraham told somebody that he was just passing through, that he was a foreigner in this land, what else would he tell them? What else would he tell them? What was he really looking forward to? It's in the next verse. It's in the next verse. Notice, next verse is verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham had enough faith that it captured his attention that the God who had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and the God that who had put the universe in place had also gone to prepare a city for him. Now, think about it for a moment. If God is preparing a city, what will that city be like? God has made the universe. You know, they've just got a new telescope out there. James Webb telescope, I think it is. And they are looking at what they're calling some of the far reaches of the universe. Probably not. But the scientists are getting all excited. Go, look at what's out there. Look at that's incredible what's out there. And they're just touching a glimpse, a little more, of God's creation. And Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. So it's God's creation out there. Think about God. If he had created the universe, and then he builds a city, what would that city be like? Unbelievable, awesome beyond comprehension, undoubtedly. In fact, the book of Revelation gives a little touch, of a little hint of that city. Let me read it for you, or come if you want. But Revelation chapter 21 and verse 16, I think it is. Verse 16 talks about the city. It says, the city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and in height and in width. 12,000 stadia is 2,200 kilometers. So the city there is described, this is just the city, the heavenly city, it's 2,200 kilometers this way, and this way, because it's God's city. It's not a city like we're thinking of, has to be laid out this way. No, the inhabitants of the city have new and glorified bodies, not human bodies like we have. And it's put together by God. Can you imagine what that city must be like? Abraham had the thought that all he wanted to do was to want to live here. He wanted to fulfill his purpose here. He wasn't dying to get there or anything like that. I mean, in the sense that he wasn't going to make it happen. He's going to fulfill his purpose. As long as God left him here, he was going to serve God. But he was very anxious to get to that city. When his time was done here, he had something really special to look forward to. And with that, as believers, if we look forward to that city, it transforms us here. It makes us a lot more readily look at the things of this life as, well, I don't need that, I'm passing through. You know, I don't need that because, you know, it's only here for a little while. It'll do. This is what I've got, it'll do. It'll do till I get home. It'll change our attitude, it'll change our focus, it'll change our lifestyle, it'll change the way we are seen by others. Because we're just stepping here, and before too long, for all of us, years go by so fast, before long we'll be headed to that city whose builder and maker is God. The architect is God. God builds a city. You know, some architects build some pretty splendid things in this world, but they're just humans. What if God builds a city? Shouldn't we look forward to it? If you've got faith in Jesus Christ, shouldn't you be looking forward to it? Absolutely, absolutely. Faith looks forward to that city. And I'll get that down here in a moment. Faith looks forward to the city whose builder and maker is God. And at the end of our verses, we have his dear wife, Sarah. And those the last couple of verses, it says, and by faith, Sarah, this is verse 11, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. If we read the text about Sarah, we find that when Sarah heard the promise, she laughed. And then she lied about laughing. So that wasn't very good. But when she came and realized it was God, and that it was, and that when God makes a promise, it's real, then she put that all aside, and she got together with Abraham, and by faith, they had a child in their senior years, Isaac, and then became the parents of a whole nation, the Jews. Wow. That's incredible faith. Do you have faith like Abraham this morning? Do you have faith? Do you have faith that says God is real and rewards those who earnestly seek him? And I'm not just going to say, well, I believe in God and then do my own thing. Believing in God means I obey God. You don't have faith in God unless you're willing to obey God. Faith takes God at his word and believes him. We follow him. And faith starts when we believe in God and we believe in Jesus Christ. And very often we express that faith by a prayer that simply says, dear Lord Jesus, I know you're real. I know you're God. And I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I know you died on that cross for me. And right now, I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. You gave your life for me. I give my life to you. A prayer like that, that comes right from your heart, right, your mind leading your heart, will transform you into a person like Abraham was. A person who who said, I'm following the Lord. Doesn't matter where I go. I don't have to have all the answers, but I'm following the Lord. And I'm going to live in this life as though I'm a foreigner and a stranger, because I'm so excited about what's happening to me at the end of this life. I'm so excited about that heavenly city. I'm so excited about what the God had done on my behalf. I'll walk by faith. We live in Canada, but heaven is our home. We live in Canada, but heaven is our home. Let's pray. Father, we lift our hearts to you today again, thanking you for what you have given to us in your word. Father, we see these people of faith, these greats, we call them, that have lived by faith, and yet they're recorded in Scripture for us to look at and to learn from, and to grab a hold of what they did and honor you. Father, help us not to live in a way that you would be ashamed of us, but help us to live recognizing that we're one day going to be with you, and we're excited about it, and we treat this world as a foreign place. Father, minister to our hearts today. Thank you for each one here. Father, I just pray that your love will be real and powerful, and that we will be transformed by looking at Abraham and Sarah and their faith. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory in our Savior's wonderful name. Amen. Lord bless.